a little slow. When life overwhelms, when discouragement sets in, when failure shows up, when dreams die, when it seems the world is going to Hades in a handbasket, it's time to lift our eyes above the trouble to God, because He's able. In the past few weeks, the pastor has been going over this theme of our God is able. First, we looked at our God is able to honor His promises. And then our God is able to rescue from trouble. And then our God is able to help the tempted. And then our God is able. Last week, we learned that our God is able to supply what is needed. And today, we're going to be looking at and focusing on our God is able to keep us. And I'll explain that in a minute. And then next week, the pastor is going to be back, and he's going to be talking about our God is able to do more than we could possibly imagine. When you find yourself up against the wall with no hope, no hope in sight, or relief in sight, where do you turn? Perhaps you've been working hard at your place of employment, and you're discouraged there. And yet they're talking about cutbacks. Who do you turn to for assurance? Maybe you have been experiencing some health problems, and or have a family member that's experiencing some health problems. What gives you the strength to hang on? Maybe you once considered yourself a mature Christian, and your faith was so strong. You was reading your Bible daily, you was praying daily, you was ministering to other people daily, you was serving in the church. You felt like as if you were on the mountaintop. But yet now you're in the valley. Life has got you down. The great deceiver has been attacking you, and now you have doubt. Doubts about being able to live the Christian life. Doubts about resisting temptation. Doubts about your salvation. And yes, even doubts about if God is able at all, or if God even exists. And yet we're here this morning talking yet again about our God is able. During the latter half of the first century, Christians were being persecuted, discriminated against, and even killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet even in the dark days of the Roman Emperor Nero, where he used the burning bodies of Christians on crucifixes as torches to light his porchway or patio. Even in those tough times, even in those trials and tribulations, Peter and Paul and Jude, the half-brother of Jesus himself, wrote letters of encouragement to the people of God. They wrote letters of encouragement saying, yes, God is able. They wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to give assurance of salvation, of encouragement to endure, and hope for a brighter day. Their message was simple. That yeah, God is able. In Jude, there's only one chapter in Jude. Jude 1, 24 through 25. We read, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Did you catch that? God is able to keep you from falling, to keep you from stumbling, About 16 years ago, about the year 2000, I think it was, Roxy and I were very involved with Alpha Baptist Church here in town. And I was a Sunday school teacher and a church training teacher, and taught the teachers how to teach and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, we took out, Roxy says, hey, let's go bowling with our class, you know. So we took our class bowling. And I liked bowling. I wasn't very good at it, but I liked it. But you know, the guy or woman or man who made up them bowling shoes, they weren't very smart. They made them slick on the bottom. And when you got slick bowling shoes and slick floor, combination ain't too good, right? But hey, I kind of figured out what they were for. They were for doing that fancy slide move. So you kind of slide that foot behind you, right? And as you're releasing the ball, shoo, like that. I watched it before. See the other people up there in the room. So I thought I'd give it a good swing on that right foot, you know. So I, shoo, and you know what happened? I swung it too far, and I just went, boom. Slow mo. Have you ever been in an accident or ever fail? It just seems like time seems to suspend and you just fall slowly. And sure enough, I hit the ground. And now, these were Christian people, so they didn't laugh and carry on. You know what I mean? They didn't, ah-ha! No. But let's just say this, I've never been bowling since. And don't ask me. Don't ask me to go bowling. I promise you, I'll say no. It ain't going to happen. I have a fear of falling, and that's one of the places. I'm not going to fall again like that. But I think if you look at Jude in these verses, I think we really, even though we know that God can keep us from physically falling, I think we know that that's really not what Jude meant here, was it? What he meant was that, yes, God can keep us from falling. He can keep us falling from grace. That no matter how slippery life can be, no matter how wet the floor is, no matter how much the devil tries to trip you up, that God is able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to keep you from falling. And He certainly will be able to keep you from falling from His grace. Because His grace is not merited upon what you do. Amen? That means you're supposed to say amen back. So here's the question that's plagued many a Christian mind for the past 2,000 years. Can a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ ever lose his or her salvation by sinning? Don't be act like you ain't never thought that before. Don't ever act like you never crossed your mind. Because it is, according to George Barner, the famous researcher of the faith here in America, it is one of the burning questions of Christians today. Matter of fact, his research has shown that a good 82% of Christians have no assurance that they're going to go to heaven. You know why? Because they think their sins are going to prevent them from getting in there. You hear that? Christians. I ain't talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about born-again believers in Jesus Christ. Grown up in Sunday school, grown up in church, grown up in hearing the gospel preached over and over and over again, but yet 82% of them think that they have no assurance of heaven. Their salvation is not secure. It permeates our culture like no other. Namely, that this lie that Satan It's some of the greatest lies of Satan is this, that it permeates the culture like no other. Namely, that God does not love you because you have sinned. There is no way that you can ever meet God's standards. God has set for you, so what's the use? Just do the best you can. Get to the end of your life. Hopefully you won't have more regrets than you have in the positive zone. And then you arrive at the pearly gates, then you can maybe squeak by on good behavior. Don't raise your hand, but thinking, are you thinking that? That maybe I just hope I can get to heaven? Maybe I just kind of sneak in, you know? Hey, Peter, look the other way. I'm sliding in. Where do we learn this from? What are you thinking right now? Recalling the times, perhaps, that you failed God? Or the numerous times that you have served Him? You see, we've been taught to be so conscious of wrong versus right, of sin versus righteousness, that many of us have bought the lie of Satan that our salvation is conditional upon how you act and think. And if you mess up, you're doomed. The Bible's clear. Just want to make sure I cover all my bases. The Bible's clear. The wages of sin is what? Everybody say it. Death. And here we're talking about a physical death as well as a spiritual death. The spiritual death, of course, is a separation from God. But the gift of God is what? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Is it something, a gift that you have to earn? Shake your head, no. Does it say that there's a gift that's conditional? Shake your head, no. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Come on. Sinners, that Christ died for us. Did He wait until you got your act together? I hear that a lot. And I know you do too. I'll come to church when I'm not sinning so much, you know? I'll come to church when I'm not, when I get my life back together. No. I've always said church is not only a haven for the saints, but also a hospital for sinners. But Christ demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, "And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now we can go on and on about this, and we know the consequences of sin is death. We know that each one of us in Ephesians 2:9 says, "For by grace by we were saved, and not of works, lest anyone should boast." But even though we know Ephesians 2:9 and we got it memorized in our mind, we act as if it's not even there. Because we believe Satan's lie. Somewhere in our culture, somewhere in our churches, somewhere in our lives, somewhere along the way, we have just been permeated with this idea that you have to earn your way to heaven. And it's not true. It is not true. Okay, I get it, you say. God loves me even though I sinned and gave me a free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and through grace of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed His blood for me to pay for my sin. But how is it possible when God can't be around sin at all? God hates sins, the Bible says, and he has a right to hate me, right? Me. grab your tomatoes. You're fixing to throw them at me. God is able to present you before Himself without fault, without as blameless, and without sin. I'm sure glad them Granger County tomatoes are not ripe yet. I'm looking at some of your faces and you're like, man, let me chunk one at you. And if not tomatoes, you're probably thinking about hitting me with smugly with this verse right here. That if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive ourselves, our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John 8-10. And somehow, when people quote this verse, they get the beginning and the end, and they leave out the middle. You know, no one says you won't hear me say that there's one of you that haven't sinned. Or myself either. There's not one of us. Not one of us. Not one single one of us. The only human, and Jesus Christ was all the way human and all the way God, okay, when He was here on the earth. The only human that has ever been sinless totally was Jesus. There is no other. But He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and He's righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the magic of the gospel. That's the magic of what He does. That is more than magic, it's just demonstration of love. And our minds cannot really comprehend that. Really, we can't. You know, do we not understand the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is paid for the forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future sins? Why is this important? I remember Roxy and I eating dinner with some really good Christian friends years ago. They're Methodists, okay? And something come up where I said, y'all be safe driving home. And I remember her saying something about, we'll confess our sins along the way, just in case. And what she was really saying, we got the big discussion after that, we didn't go home. What she's really saying is, I have no assurance of salvation. And if I sinned at the last moment, therefore, I won't go to heaven. Okay? In other words, salvation can be lost that way. I thank God that we don't really, the Bible doesn't teach that way. I thank God that we have the assurance of salvation. Past, present, and future sins have been wiped clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Shall we still confess them? Yes. Shall we still confess them? But you know, the Bible says confess your sins to what? Not only to God, but to each other. Yeah. That's something we don't do very much of, do we? We're not getting that habit. But I wish we would. I mean, if we did, we'd be a lot more cleansing going on. You know, a lot more healthy stuff going on. Let's go back and revisit the key verse, the first key verse that we looked at today. In Jude, verse 24. Oop, go back. What happened? To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Yes, it says clearly right there that God is able to present you before himself without fault. And other translations says blameless or without sin. And he does it with great joy. is what the miracle of grace is all about, and yet we dismiss it as if it is not there because we have been deceived by the lies of Satan. And two of the greatest Satan's lies are that God does not love us and there's no way to in Hades that he would love someone who sins, especially those hypocrite Christians and accept them into heaven. It ain't going to happen. That's what Satan's trying to tell us over and over and over again. He's trying to tell us, you can't make it to heaven. You're not good enough. Well, you know what? You're not. You're not good enough. But Jesus Christ, through his blood, paid for you on the cross of Calvary, has made you righteous. Where God, as we saw in Jude, can present to himself you as blameless. Everybody hold out your hand. Look at it. And think about your hand. Think about what they've done. Done good things. Perhaps done some, everybody looking? Perhaps done some bad things. Now take that hand, just kind of wipe it clean. Think about it. All the bad things gone away. Everything. To where that hand is just seen as doing all good. That's what God does for you. When you receive Christ as your Savior and he enters into your life and departs grace upon you, he forgives all of your sins. And I love this part. The Bible says he casts those sins as far as way as this, from east, from west, and then it kind of circles back around. And he dumps them into the sea, the deepest, most innermost part of the sea. And this is my part that I love the best, where the Bible says God remembers them what? No more. He remembers them no more. That's some powerful stuff. What really happens when Christ saves a soul is the person becomes a brand new creature who's born again and made a joint heir with Christ, adopted into the family of God, and with all sins forgiven by the ultimate high priest, Jesus. So as Christians, you're not a sinner saved by grace any longer, but you're a saint saved by grace. And your own righteousness is nothing but as a filthy old rags, yet the righteousness of God has been put upon you. And this is how God is able to present you to himself as spotless and sinless. In Hebrews chapter 7, it explains this. For it was fitting for us that to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, and separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. We're talking about Jesus here. Who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Because this he did once and for all when he offered it up himself. That's what Jesus did. He was the ultimate high priest. The end of the high priest. The end of the need for a high priest. Because he offered himself up once and for all. It's over. No longer do you need the Holy of Holies, you see. No longer do you need that high priest to go into the Holy of Holies. No longer, because the veil has been torn from the top down. When Christ died on the cross, it was over. It's finished, he said. That old system of laws and being trying to keep laws and then having a high priest coming with a sacrificial lamb on the Day of Atonement, putting all the sins of Israel and all the sins of the people onto that lamb and sending him out into the wilderness. Those days are over. Because the great shepherd has come, and the great shepherd has took it upon himself and sacrificed himself as a lamb. He became the high priest with the Holy of the Holies. There is no more need for those. And that's what he's doing here. He's taking care of all of that. And you think about that, you folks, it's liberating. It is for me. But the question is, how long will this last? How long will this go on? This thing's a little slow. Maybe it's me. Jim, I ain't working no more. There we go. Or God is able to keep you forever. Over in John chapter 10, we read. Go back. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. And they will, what? They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's what Jesus is saying. Do you believe Jesus? What's he talking about here? He's talking about, hey, I'm the great shepherd here, and if you follow me and you are one of mine, and if you're a Christian, you are, then you're going to hear his voice. And he's going to know you, everything about you, including your sins. And you're going to follow him, and he's going to give you eternal life so that you'll never, ever perish. And nobody, not death, no darkness, no principalities of this earth, not no one is going to snatch you from his hand, from the Father's hand. You get it? I don't know about you, but that's some pretty powerful stuff. There's a video on Facebook that passed around for a long time. Little boy is talking to his mom. And he goes, Listen, Linda. Listen. Anybody seen it? You know what I'm talking about? Listen, Linda. Old Lucifer and his minions are not going to snatch you out of the Father's hand. You may let his nasty foxes in your vineyard to steal your joy. But your salvation is secure in God. And God has you, and he will not let you go. Listen, Linda. God is greater than all that you have, that all that there is, and you will never perish following the great shepherd. Are you listening? God is able to be trusted on this. God is able to keep you till the end. Blessed be the God. One more time. See if I can get it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is what? Can you read it? Say it with me. Imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, and who are kept by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Did you get that one word? Kept. God is able to keep you by the power of God. How long will he keep you? Until you go home. Don't lose hope. When you find yourself up against the wall with no hope in sight, trust in Jesus. Trust that God is able soon and very soon. Jesus, our Savior, will descend and take us all home. And if we shall go home before He comes, rest assured that Jesus promises you that He will keep you. All right? He will keep you, and no one's going to snatch you out of His hand. One day we'll receive word from our Lord that it's time. It's time to go home. And I think He's going to look at us and say, "My faithful servants." And though this world may be dark, and though this world may maybe have some tough times, and though we may be suffer only for a little while, as the Bible says, we're going to follow the light of the world. And Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And we're going to follow Him to the glorious mansions that He has reserved for us in heaven. Don't lose hope. You are a part of His family. You are a part of God's family. And you're kept by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, this was a tough message for some, because it counters what old Lucifer's been saying to us for a long time. It's a tough message for some because they may have sin in their lives even though they're Christians. Nor we struggle with that sometimes. We struggle with keeping Your commandments and keeping Your laws. Lord, we know and we're thankful that with grace, who Jesus has set free is free indeed. And with grace, our sins are forgiven. With the power of the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary, Lord, they've been washed clean. And our old righteousness and old ways and old sins have been made righteous, so that we can be presented to You in heaven blameless. Help us to believe it, Lord. And Lord, help us to apply it to ourselves by looking at ourselves differently. Looking at ourselves, Lord, not as defeated people, but victorious ones because of what You did. Thank You, Lord Jesus. In His name we pray, amen.